Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
This episode is brought to you by Beyond Natural Pet Food. Beyond Pet Food helps me care for what matters, my pets and my world. They help me nourish my pets with high-quality natural ingredients, like wild-caught salmon and organic free-range chicken. Beyond also has responsible sourcing practices and a long-term partnership with the Nature Conservancy. Beyond Pet Food, your pet, your world. Learn more at beyondpetfood.com.
Hello, world, and welcome back to another episode of Thanks for Coming In. I'm your host, Jillian Clare. If this is your first time tuning in, this is the show where I talk to fellow actors about funny, bad, great, everything in between auditions and their journey. We have a good time, share a lot of laughs, sometimes we cry. It's all about the cathartic experience over here at Thanks for Coming In. How are you all doing today? I went to the beach and now I'm exhausted. I don't know what it is about outings like that. They just exhaust me now. I think I've just spent far too much time in my house, as we all have this past year. And now every time I leave it, I'm just like, but I want to sleep more, please. Anywho, I hope you all are having a fantastic week. I'm super excited for the show this week. I have soap opera royalty, Kate Linder, on the show from The Young and the Restless. And it was really cool to talk to her and share some fun stories that she's never shared before. And it's really cool to meet somebody who, you know, has a freaking star on the Walk of Fame. What? I was jazzed. She was jazzed. It was a grand old time. And you hear us talk a little bit about this being the day that she had premiered on Young and the Restless. So we did record this a couple weeks ago now. We recorded it the 16th. Sometimes I do that. Anyway, I was excited to talk to her. So here is my conversation with Kate Linder. Welcome to the show, Kate!
Hey, Julie, thank you!
I am so honored to have you on the show. As a former soap actor myself, it is incredible to be talking to soap opera royalty, truly.
Oh my gosh. That, you have no idea how much that means to me. That's so sweet of you.
I mean, it's true. You've been on Young and the Restless for so long, and you've just been an amazing person to watch and to look up to. You do so much with charity and work, and you know, it's been an incredible honor to watch you.
Well, you know what? It's amazing that this is the day we're doing this, because 39 years ago today was the first day that I aired on, that Esther aired on Young and the Restless today.
Oh my gosh.
So it's just unbelievable that we're doing this today. And it was only supposed to be for one day.
You were only supposed to be on for one day.
That's all I was hired for. Yeah, one day.
And then apparently you knocked their socks off and they were like, okay, she's great.
I'm so honored. I'm so grateful and honored to The Young and the Restless and the Bell family and CBS, and all the viewers, especially, because if it wasn't for everyone tuning in, you know, we wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be here talking to you, you know, so yeah. I'm very grateful. Very, very grateful.
That's amazing. And how did you, I mean, that's so long ago now, 39 years. So how did you get into acting? What was the moment that you realized that you wanted to be an actor?
Well, this is interesting because that's all I ever wanted to do. I never wanted to be a mom. I never wanted to be a nurse. I never wanted to be a teacher. I never wanted to be a flight attendant. I know. I never wanted to be anything that little girls, you know, what they want to be when they say, hey, when I grow up, you know. So mm-hmm. I announced to my parents, you know, very early on, I want to be an actress. And they're going, oh, okay. And, you know, back then too, I mean, they were extremely, extremely supportive, but they didn't have a clue, you know, what to do. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they gave me all the dance lessons. I started in this business as a dancer, singer, dancer. Mm-hmm. Tap dancer and musicals. And so, and they gave me that and gave me piano lessons. They gave me, but you know, and they thought it was a really rough business, which it is. And they yeah. figured that if I wanted it, you know, bad enough, I, you know, would figure it out. So I'm still trying to figure it out. I take one step forward and two steps back, but I don't give up. And, you know, yeah. we just keep going here.
No. Now, you were born in Pasadena. Did I read that right?
Yeah. I grew up in Arcadia. I was born in the hospital. I was born in Pasadena. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that must have been nice for you though, because then you already had that advantage of being here and having your support system here while you were on that journey as a young actor.
Yeah, definitely. Though I was, I went to college in San Francisco. I graduated from San Francisco State, and my major was theater, of course, and yeah. I stuck around there and doing plays and that kind of thing. But yeah, it's just, you know, them and I was just trying to figure it all out. It's so different in these days where mm-hmm. people have, even though the competition is unbelievable and it's very, very difficult, and it was then as well, but yeah. there are more opportunities that, you know, we didn't have.
Yeah. Right. Well, so. I mean, young actors now can go out and make their own web series and kind of right. create their own content to get out there. But back then, it's like you had to have a studio behind you. You had to have people behind you pushing you so that you could get those opportunities and get in the room.
Yeah, definitely. And you're absolutely right.
So you go to school in San Francisco, and then do you come back to LA and start auditioning?
Well, I came back. You know, I graduated with a degree in theater. Yeah. And you think, okay, I'm here. I can do this. And going, what are you going to do? What? I mean, you know, I don't have an agent. I'm not in the unions. I mean, I had to figure all that out. And then I realized, you know, in the beginning, I think, well, I don't need to study anymore. I mean, that's all I do. But then I realized, oh, yes, you do. And it's a business. It's called show business for a reason. It's the business of show. So you have to treat it like that. So I got back in class, and through that, I was able to, you know, meet people and try to figure out and figure out, you know, it's a craft. You have to keep it going mm-hmm. and keep it up. And so it's just, you know what, Jillian, I just call myself a work in progress. That's what I am.
I love that. I actually have that like hooked on my computer. I don't know if you can really? See this. It says, I'm a work in progress.
Oh, that is so cool. And I'm a work in progress. And what else does it say? I'm proud.
And proud. Yeah.
That's so great.
It's yeah. true though. And you know, as actors and people in this industry, it's like we're constantly growing. We're constantly learning, changing. The art industry changes so much. And you've certainly watched it change enormously, even on Young and the Restless. I'm sure it has to be a whole lot different now than it was when you started.
Oh yes, it was very, very different. And you know, now it's fast and furious now. Mm-hmm. Has been for several years. I mean, there's not time. We do 80 pages a day, 60 to 80 pages a day. And that is a lot because a primetime show, an hour show, a nighttime will take a week to shoot an hour. We do it in one day. I'm very proud of our show. I mean, it's the number one show and everybody works extremely hard. And of course, now in this day and age, it's even more difficult trying to, you know, get everything together and what everyone has to do to stay safe. And which is, of course, the utmost concern, you know, and so it's a whole different ball game.
Yeah.
But
tell me, what was, do you remember what was the first TV show or film that you did that you thought like, oh, this is going to be what gets me to the next level?
Well, you know, I didn't know because in the beginning, you know, wow, you know, just made me think of something. There was this show. Oh, my goodness. There was this show called, you probably won't remember. You probably weren't around then. Called Real People.
Okay.
And so I got cast. I was, you know, you were in the audience and they come to you and go, hi, I'm, you know, so-and-so and this is Real People. And that was like, I got hired for that. It was, oh my gosh, you know, this is really great. And so I forgot about that. That was a really, really long time ago.
Wow.
And yeah, it was good. I don't know. And like I said, you know, I don't take it for granted, you know, because you never know. You could go upstairs one day and never come down. And I mean, you know,
right. It's true. And, you know, you've had such a long and lasting career. It's very hard as an actor to be able to work for that long, that consistently. And it's incredible that you've accomplished this huge feat that so many are struggling with.
Well, I like I said, Dylan, I'm so grateful. And because it's also given me the opportunity, Young and the Restless has given me the opportunity that I'm able to give back. And so I've been able to, you know, to raise a lot of money for charities to bring up Young and the Restless people. We do 3 T's in Canada a year, Vancouver and Toronto and Calgary. Of course, what's going on now is put a little crimp in it, but but we did one actually virtually and raised quite a bit of money. So I was really happy about that, but I can't wait till we're back in person and you know, that will be a really good thing. And then, you know, I just try to give back as much as I can, because if everyone gave back just a teeny little bit, I mean, can you imagine where we would be? Like for March of Dimes, I am the ambassador, celebrity ambassador for their Conductive Ed program. And they help adults and children, you know, become productive members of society. And I just think that's so fabulous. And then I'm
lovely.
A celebrity spokesperson for the ALS Association and do a lot of work with the Golden West chapter in LA. It's all good. Cause when you become an actress, you know what? It's not written anywhere that you're supposed to do all this. It's not, there's not a manual, right? I mean, there's no, but I feel so honored. I mean, this is the deal. This is all I ever wanted to do. All I wanted to do was be an actress. And I, you know, like I said before, my parents were supportive, but they didn't have a clue what to do. And, you know, and so I am so fortunate that I don't have to, you know, press a snooze alarm, you know, all the time, that I can't wait to get up and go to work. I'm so excited about that. So
that's so cool.
You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales, because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten. As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
This episode is brought to you by Beyond Natural Pet Food. Beyond Pet Food helps me care for what matters, my pets and my world. They help me nourish my pets with high-quality natural ingredients, like wild-caught salmon and organic free-range chicken. Beyond also has responsible sourcing practices and a long-term partnership with the Nature Conservancy. Beyond Pet Food, your pet, your world. Learn more at beyondpetfood.com.
And, I think you are the first person I've had on the show that has a Hollywood star on the Walk of Fame, which is so cool.
I know. I can't believe it. I have to go there periodically and make sure it's still there because I can't believe it. That was April 8th, 2008. Oh my gosh. How is it that long ago already? Oh, and it was a huge, huge honor. And It's so unbelievable.
Yeah.
I mean, there's very few people in daytime. Mm-hmm. It's just wild, you know. I love having people walk all over me, right? And that was great.
I love that. And I was reading that you were in Mother's Day, which was from Gary Marshall.
Yeah.
Fantastic Gary Marshall, who we all miss. What was it like to work with him? That was one of my goals. And unfortunately, he passed before I was able to accomplish that. But he just seems so amazing.
Totally amazing. And what an honor to have not only known him, but worked with him. And he was such a giving, kind, incredible man, and mm-hmm. so talented. And it just was like, he just made it sound like, this is nothing. This is what he does. But and I do miss him. And we had talked and there were going to be more things to come. And of course, like you, that unfortunately did not take place. But I, to have been able to work with him and on that, how great. And, I've approached all this, my career, just like because you see when I started on Young and the Restless, it's very small and it was only supposed mm-hmm. to be for one day, and I always think of what if I hadn't taken it, because a lot of people wouldn't have, and so I have done that. I've taken smaller roles in lots of things, mm-hmm. and you just never know.
Right.
Just don't know what's going to transpire.
It's true. And, you know, that one small role that you did at one point in your career, that person who was a PA on the set could have remembered you and said, I want to work with her. When I make my first big movie, I'm going to hire her. And it's just, this industry is so interesting in that way that it's like anybody on set at any given time could be to the key to your future in 10 years.
Right.
It's wild.
In 10 minutes? Yeah. Or 10 years?
Yeah.
Or you just don't know. And, you know, I think the whole thing is you just need to, like I said, it is considerate. It is a business, and treat it like that, and be kind and gracious. You know what? This is another thing. You're making me remember all this stuff I haven't. I was an extra way back when on a show, and I remember one of the actors, you know, calling after me, "Hey extra, hey extra," and I went, "Oh my God!" I'm looking around, going, "Are they talking to me?" You know, I never forgot that.
Yeah,
and. The one thing, you know, I do, and I get on set, and if there's somebody I don't know, you know, I always go up and introduce myself and because you see, we're all in this together, and it takes everyone to make the show. I mean, all our crew, they work so hard, our hair and makeup people, the camera, all the people in the office. And now it's even doubly hard.
Right.
And so, you know, it's
true. And you remember those moments where you're like, you're made to feel less than on a set. Those moments stick with you because, I mean, this industry is made to connect and to work together with people. So when those moments happen, it really does stick in your brain. Like, oh, wait, am I not important enough? Am I not good enough for this?
Why?
You know, have that on set is so disheartening because, you know, everyone's working towards the same creative goal.
Well, you know, you're so right. I remember, this is a great day for telling all these stories I never tell. Okay. I was in San Francisco because I, you know, graduated from San Francisco State. I was there. And so I was trying to get an agent and, you know, I went in for an interview and they said to me, "Well, you know, you're really good. You're really talented. However, you need to stick to the stage. You know, you can't do television and film. You need to stick to the stage." And
what? And
I just kind of looked at them and they said, "Yeah, because you're not pretty enough." And, you know, so from if you're back, you know, from the stage, you know, you're far enough away. So, you know, you should just stick to that. Well, I went home and of course I was totally devastated.
Yeah.
And when I got my star, I really wanted to invite them to my ceremony.
You definitely should have, because I think that would have been like the cherry on top of it.
Yeah. So that's the whole thing. You can't listen to that.
No.
You've got inside too. How many times we go, "Oh no, I can't do that. Oh no, I'm not good enough. Oh no, I'm too tall. I'm too old. I'm too young. I can't do that." You know, but you have to say to that, "No, no, no, I'm doing," and you just keep going forward and keep plowing ahead.
Keep plowing ahead. So on this show, we like to share audition stories that have either gone awry, things that are good, whatever kind of audition story that you want to share. Do you have one that you'd like to share with the audience?
Okay. Well, actually, I think since this is a special day for me, it's 39 years ago, I'm going to share it. So I had a general interview with the casting director, who was Tom Palmer at the time. He's since passed away. He was an amazing man. And I went in. And I left him a tape of some of my stuff, you know, and you know, then I went home and I said to my husband, "Oh my gosh, when is this ever going to happen? You know, it's never going to happen." A little while later, his assistant, who's Jill Newton, who at the time, and she called me and she said, "Okay, so Tom's finished with your tape and you can come pick it up. And I said, already? And she goes, yeah. It was really, really weird because he usually doesn't do this. But after you left, he went right in and he looked at it. And I said, oh, okay. Well, I'll be in a couple, you know, days, because I didn't live right near there. And she said, okay. Well, a couple of days later, he called me. He said, I have this roll. This goes back to what I was saying before. He said, it is really small. If you blink, you're going to miss it. He said, it's that small. But I'm telling you that I'm looking for something else for you on the show. And see, usually that doesn't happen, because once you do a small, anything like that, that's it. You're recognized as that, and they were not going to bring you back. Mm-hmm. And so I said, I'll do it. And that was 39 years ago. And then here we are, you know, and had to be great acting, because it was my first line was something my family never heard, which was dinner is served. So, you know, I mean, it had to be really good, I guess. And then after I finished work that day, I was walking off the set, and the producer was Ed Scott at the time. He's now exec producer over at Bold and Beautiful. But he followed me out and he said, are you available tomorrow? And I went, yeah. Of course. Yes. And anyway, and there we are. I didn't have a name in the beginning.
Wow.
My character didn't have a name. The scripts would come down because I was the maid to Mrs. Chancellor, the richest woman in town. And Jeannie, actually, who was incredible, gave me my name, because we were rehearsing our lines, and when we went to tape, she started calling me Esther. And fortunately, I didn't go, look, who's that? fortunately, I responded. And then other actors started calling me that. And then the writer started writing it. And then we had a national contest for the last name. And Bill Bell, who was my, you know, creator of the show and set producer. And he came to me and he said, okay, you can have, it was a choice of Valentine. Esther Valentine or Diamond. And there were several others. And I picked Valentine because I said, okay, I'll take Valentine, because I thought that would be good luck, because I was married on Valentine's Day. So,
Oh, that's so cute.
So, yeah.
Wow. So that is an amazing story.
What if I had said no?
Right.
Like I said, what if I had said, oh, no. I've been around a long time. I can't just do this one line.
And it's sad, because a lot of actors feel pressured to not say yes to those types of things, right? Because you're told you're supposed to do certain things, have certain roles at a certain point in your career. Right. And so a lot of actors would have said no. A lot of actors wouldn't have taken that opportunity. And thank God you did.
I know. I mean, I thank goodness. And then the things, I hardly had any lines, you know, in the beginning. Yeah. So I actually, she became the comic relief. And back then, that's another thing. There wasn't any comedy on soaps, daytime. You know, there just wasn't. And so I had to be really careful. In fact, Bill said to me one day, he said, I know what you're doing. And it's okay, but don't you go too far. No. So I didn't have any lines. So I would do things like, oh my gosh. So when I'd open the door and whoever it was, if it was Victor Newman or the plumber or whatever, I mean, Esther would just go, you know, gaga. Because I made her man crazy without saying anything. And then one day in the script, it said, Esther goes out and gets the mail. So I went out and got the mail. And I looked around. Is anybody looking? No. I hold it up, and then I put it in my pocket and walk back in. That wasn't in the script. And they kept it in. I would always do what I was going to do on blocking, so I wouldn't, like, surprise them.
Yeah.
But this is kind of funny, because one day we were, you know, went to camera blocking so that the cameras can see where, you know, what we're doing. Mm-hmm. And I was dusting, and I sneezed. And so they said, okay, stop, whatever. And I said, pardon me? And they said, don't sneeze. And I said, Oh, but I just sneezed. I mean, I wasn't really sneezing.
Yeah.
I mean, because I would do things that they thought that that's what I was going to do. No.
They were so used to your improvisational skills that they were like, oh, she wants to sneeze in the scene? No.
No. Yeah. Because I would come, like one day I asked props for a spoon with a melted chocolate on it. And they look at me like, oh, okay. And they gave it to me. So, because it was in the script, Esther answers the door. I mean, you know, how many ways can you answer the door? So I went to the door and I'm trying to open the door and I have that spoon and chocolate all over me. I'm trying to get, you know, that kind of stuff. So
I love that. It's just, it's a testament to true acting, because I feel like so often when you're on a set that is moving at a really fast pace, you don't get to have those fun moments where you as an actor make a decision for your character. And it's amazing to me that you basically created how your character was going to be for the rest of your time on the show, where you said, I'm going to make something out of even the smallest of things and turn it into something memorable.
Well, here's the thing. After a while, I'd been there quite a while, and I knew if I did something and they didn't like it, I was going to be gone. And if I didn't do anything, I was going to be gone.
Mm-hmm.
I had to take that risk, and you know, and but of course, everybody was, you know, really, really supportive, and so I don't know today if I could actually, you know, honestly, I don't know if in today's world and the way things are right now at this moment, if I could get away with that. You know, I don't know. I'm glad I don't have to try again.
Well, I have so enjoyed talking to you, Kate. Thank you so much for coming on the show. Do you have social media where people can follow you?
I do. If you go to www.katelinder.com, it's all right there. And you can just click on it, because my Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook is all there. I mean, Instagram's KateLinderYR and Twitter's at KateLinder, but it's all right there for you. So you don't even have to, you just go there and click on the things and there it is.
Thank you so much for coming on the show. It was truly an honor to talk to you, and happy 39 years.
Oh, you're so sweet. You know what? I just saw you have, is that Pretty Woman you have?
It's a movie I started and produced called Pretty Broken. I have the poster in my office.
That's great. Well, congratulations. That's really good. Well, I really enjoyed talking to you. So anytime, I loved it. And
thank you so much.
And so we all, you and I, just keep going, right? Never give up.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks again to Kate for coming on the show and talking to me. That was so cool. I love talking to people who have been in this industry for so long and just have the wisdom that we all need to listen to succeed. And that was dope. Thanks, Kate. Really, I really loved it. Tune in next week to hear an awesome interview with one of the actors from the new show Mayor of Easttown on HBO Max with Kate Winslet. Really cool conversation, so tune in then. Now would be a great time to hit that subscribe button so that you're subscribed to the show and get notifications when new episodes are uploaded. Hey, and if you're not following us on social media, you can do that. Those links are in the show notes. Make sure to follow us on Instagram too, because we post some really cool IGTVs every single week from these interviews. So if you want to see Kate and I talking in person, well, over Zoom-ish type of thing, tune in to our Instagram so you can see that. Love you all. I hope you have a great weekend. And as always, thanks for coming in.
Hi, I'm Alexis Ohanian. You may know me as one of the co-founders of Reddit, but more recently, a large part of my identity is being a father to my two wonderful daughters. In my podcast, Business Dad, I'm hoping to open up the conversation about balancing careers and family. The one thing I constantly hear successful people say, without fail, is that they wish they'd spent more time with their kids. That's time no one can get back. So I decided to create Business Dad, to engage in the conversation about how we're spending our time now providing a forum for successful dads to share their joys and challenges of being a working parent. You'll get to hear from a wide range of business dads, from Rain Wilson and Guy Raz to Todd Carmichael and Shane Battier. And while this podcast will talk about business and will definitely be featuring dads, I think everyone can learn something from these incredible conversations as we unpack the expectations we all have about careers, relationships, and ourselves. Business Dad is available now, so be sure to listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.